Welcome back to another episode of Wrestling with Depression. I'm your host, Marty DeRosa. I'm a stand-up comedian living in Chicago, and I also dabble in the world of professional wrestling. This podcast is in no way, shape, or form a cure for depression or a substitute for therapy or medication. It's simply a show where people have a lighthearted and sometimes heavy-hearted discussion about depression and other forms of mental illness. So what do you say, guys? Let's podcast.
Wrestling with Depression.
Welcome to Wrestling with Depression with your host, Marty DeRosa.
Ho, 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 everybody. Merry Christmas, or whatever you're celebrating. Happy holidays. This is the Wrestling with Depression holiday extravaganza. I'm your host, Marty DeRosa. I don't know why I'm talking soft right now, but it just feels right. You can't not feel good listening to this music right now. I think that might be the cure for depression. Whenever you're feeling bummed out, just play this music and talk into a microphone. Like I said before, this is the holiday edition of Wrestling with Depression. And my Christmas gift to all you boys and girls out there on Santa's birthday or Jesus's birthday, whatever we're celebrating today, is the Lost CM Punk episode. You might have heard the original episode we played here on Wrestling with Depression. I'm sure there's going to be some overlap, but there's also a couple things that I might have left out. And this is a fun interview, and I hope you guys enjoy it. And I want to thank you guys so much again for listening to the show and supporting it and spreading the word. Very thankful this Christmas season to have all of you as my family of listeners. So if you guys want to hit me up, you can always do that at WrestlingWithDepression@gmail.com. I hope you're all having a good holiday season. I know this can be a kind of a poopy day sometimes if you're depressed. Sometimes our families are weirdos or we don't talk to them and things like that. I don't know. Maybe go out of your way to be nice to somebody on this day. And fuck it. Be nice to somebody all the time. And again, if you're bummed out, play this music. How soothing is this? Listen. Yeah. You like that? I do too. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Enjoy the Lost CM Punk episode. Have a happy holiday. Safe New Year. Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. I don't know. Don't do anything silly. Stay off roofs. Stay off of, I don't know, all sorts of things. Don't get hurt. And just be good to people and spread the holiday spirit. So without any further ado, let's jump to our Lost interview. We're going back to October-ish, maybe September. No, this is like in the summer, I think. I don't know. Hopefully it explains it to you. But without any further ado, the Lost episode with CM Punk. All right. CM Punk interview. Take one, two, three. Here we go. You can open those? Huh? You can open those?
Yeah, you can open them.
No, it's already open.
Okay.
I'm just splitting the bag more so I can get my fat fingers in it.
Welcome back to Wrestling with Depression. The man you hear playing with his candy is CM Punk.
Hello.
Are you enjoying your Sour Patch Kids?
Marty asked me to do this podcast, and I told him only if he brought me Sour Patch
Which
Kids.
Which I did.
He did.
So if you guys have podcasts out there and you want to have CM Punk on your podcast, all you need to do is go to the 7-Eleven in Bucktown and load up on Sour Patch Kids.
It's true.
That's your number one favorite candy?
It was my WrestleMania 25 payday, too, was Sour Patch Kids.
Sour Patch Kids?
Yeah. Yep.
They threw it at you like, thanks, kid.
Yep.
What was that like when you were at WrestleMania 25 back?
25?
No, you did the... What year was it when you did the John Cena...
The gangster thing?
Gangster thing.
That was 22.
22, okay.
So 23... 22 is WrestleMania 1A for me, I think.
Okay.
And 23 is WrestleMania 1B.
All right.
I guess.
Okay. Do you still have your suit that you wore at that, your gangster outfit?
No,
or was that like from some costume suit?
That was a rental. Yeah.
It was a rental.
That was a great costume. Yeah.
See, but knowing you, I think like you would have found a way to like sneak it out and be like, oh no, I'm keeping
a
this.
A suit? No, I don't want anything.
The old gangster suit?
Don't want anything. I did try to steal the Tommy gun.
I will fully. You would have it over your TV or something. And you'd be like, recognize that Tommy gun?
Mm-hmm.
So besides Sour Patch Kids, that's like your number one favorite?
I think so. Candy-wise? Yeah.
I've seen you devour them.
Yeah. Yeah, they're it's an addiction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sour Patch Kids. What else? Twizzlers?
Candy-wise, yeah. Twizzlers.
This is pretty hard.
I like sour things.
Yeah. This is the hard-hitting candy interview that we're doing.
Well, today's a refeed day, as we like to call
it.
What
does that mean?
It's a cheat day.
Okay, so that's why we had pizza. We had pizza before this.
Yep.
So you can eat all the junk you want?
I eat whatever the hell I want.
And then what happens tomorrow? Back to, like, juicing and...
Pretty much, yeah.
Doesn't your body, like, go... Don't you,
haywire.
Like, crap like crazy, or...?
No. I'm pretty regular.
You're pretty regular?
Yeah. My poop is... I poop very well.
This is a poop cast.
Poop cast. The poop
cast. What are questions that you're, like, completely sick of asking or answering, so I don't ask you? Do you get the same questions all the time?
All the time.
And, like, what are the...
Who inspired you to be a wrestler? Ugh. How many times I have to tell the Roddy Piper story?
You have it like on autopilot where you can, like, if you're at some like radio station at 6 in the morning, they're like, "CM Punk is in the studio. Who inspired you to be a wrestler?" And you could just like go into your mode. You should just have like a soundboard that you plug into there and you just hit a button and it's like, "I remember being a kid watching Roddy Piper."
Well, I did 3 hours of phone interviews for the 1000th Raw. I want to say last Thursday. And I don't remember
anything.
No, I had.
Do you ever listen back to something and you're like, "Ooh, I said
to set
that?"
My alarm for like 7:30 in the morning, and wake up and do 3 hours of phone interviews, and it's the same interview
over and over. It's like Groundhog Day.
I just put my Dre Beats headphones on.
Beats by Dre.
You're welcome, Dr. Dre. You're welcome, Andre. And you know, I just put the phone on my chest, and I'm either like texting people or tweeting stuff while doing the interviews or just falling asleep.
And you're just like autopilot.
But I do have to say some interviews are much better than others.
You could tell right away, like, okay, this will be.
Well, I've been in the studio with most of them over the past 6-7 years, and I know, you know, I'm familiar with some. Some are some are good.
You can obviously tell right away when they know nothing about wrestling.
Yes. My favorite is when I do live in-studio things and I walk in and I see the printed-out Wikipedia sheet.
Instantly. You should, like, grab it and crumble it, like, so right when they go on the air and they're like, "We're here with, okay." Or you just say, like, "Do you have any idea who I am? What do you think I do?"
That'd be good. Maybe they could get mixed up with, like, some other guest.
Yeah, or be like,
"You're like, Indiana Circuit tennis pro, Bjorn Svensson."
Yes. And be like, "Oh no! Have you ever seen that one interview where I think it was in like it was in England? They were interviewing some black guy, and they thought he was like he was there for a job interview, and they were like, "So tell us about the I don't even know what they were asking him about, like hypothetically. Like, so tell us about the world's economy and how Denmark's economy collapsing is going to have an impact on it." And he just like was like, "What?" Like he thought it was a job interview. And then they finally figured out, like, "Oh, you're not the guy." So that could be.
You're not world-renowned economist.
Yes. Wait a minute.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, that was very good. So what inspired you to get into wrestling?
I wasn't good at anything else.
What would you ever think, like, what you would do if you didn't wrestle?
That's a question I get a lot.
God damn it. I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew
son
it.
Son of a bitch. No, I don't know. I guess the standard answer is dead or in jail. But
yeah,
I'm not that cool.
No,
no,
you're not that cool.
I have no idea.
I don't see you being dead or in jail.
No.
All right, that's a boring question.
Maybe running a jail. I don't know.
Running a jail, super jail.
I'll be the warden.
Like some type of like
Warden Phil.
Warden Phil. Hello. You'd be some type of like like natural born killers or whatever. Like you'd have a little thing to like put in the guy's nostrils or whatever.
Yeah.
So how many times have you seen Dark Knight Rises?
Twice.
And you're going to go again?
I'm sure I'm going to go again tomorrow or Friday.
And you recommend seeing it twice?
Definitely. I think it was much better the second time. I loved it the first time.
Rank the three.
Oh, man. Immediate number three is Begins.
Okay. You're not quite sure about number one. Since you've seen it twice, you've...
Upon first viewing, I felt Dark Knight Returns was better. Upon second viewing, I'm kind of even on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, realistically, two different movies.
Yeah.
But I'm not one of these people who was going in expecting like Tom Hardy to try to top what you know Heath Ledger did. I almost said Heath Slater.
Heath Slater. I mean, yeah. How can you top what he did?
He's a one man.
How can you top what he did?
Great movies though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those. I gotta go. I sort of want to go back and watch all of them in a row.
There was a theater in Chicago that played all of them in a row. And
I don't know if I have the patience for that.
That's a long.
They're
day.
Long movies. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, they do all have their own kind of separate vibe. But yeah. It was, like, we were, like, kids watching it, like, leaning, because Cabana was sitting in between us. Mm-hmm. And we were, like, leaning over, like, you know, for certain parts or whatever. And he was just completely, like.
My favorite part about going with him was when the Hobbit preview hit the screen.
And there was
I'd never seen him more agitated.
He was angry.
Upset. Yeah, he really was.
Like, you're going to make me watch this preview.
It was just like, oh, mother.
The theater was quiet, and then you just hear Cabana go, ah, and then people like turn around and they're laughing and stuff around. Cause, and if even if you were kind of like, I mean, if you're a huge Lord of the Rings fan, yeah, you probably saw that and you're like, oh, we get to see this. But if you're kind of like on the fence or couldn't care less, and then you hear Cabana just go, ah, you were like, yep, this you just ruined this for me. I don't want to see this. This is terrible.
But you would think he is going to be forced to watch that or something.
No, we weren't like, hey, instead of Dark Knight Rises, you're going to see The Hobbit. Ah, no, it was just like, watch this 90-second preview.
The preview came
and he
on.
Could, he was like angry. He was visibly, like you looked at him and he had like disgust in his
face. Did you get my text from last night,
yeah,
by the way?
For the video, yeah.
I got no response from him.
So,
the backstory, obviously, for people who are listening to this. We went and saw the movie and he groaned at the Hobbit preview. So when I went to go see it a second time by myself, because I'm a loser.
Because that's what cool champions do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go to movies by themselves.
That's real life. I filmed part of the Hobbit preview and I sent it to Cabana and Marty and I got,
which
no,
is highly illegal.
I got no response. Yeah,
it's highly illegal.
I'm a criminal. What do you
so
want
when
me?
You're at the movies, do you ever think like, did Macho Man go to movies by himself when he was the WWE
I know
champ?
He did. I
you
know
he did.
100%.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he had to. He had to.
Like you have this instant thing of like you see his ghost like, I saw Ghostbusters by myself.
Ghost Dad with Bill
Ghost
Cosby?
Ghost Dad, I saw, yeah. I saw Ghost Dad or Moving with Bill Cosby.
I just think being
Richard
on the
Pryor.
Road, I think, yeah, you're
movies
more
by
inclined.
Yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
Isn't it like I'm not even on the road that much, and I go to movies in Chicago by myself a lot. You tell regular people that, they look at you like you're crazy. Like
really, I don't.
You go to movies by yourself?
When I was living in Philadelphia, I didn't have air conditioning.
So you go to the movie. You got to go to the movies.
Yeah,
then.
I would go. Yeah. I would wake up in the morning before it was blazing hot out. I would eat and I would go to the gym. I would work out and then I would go to the movies and I would see two or three movies in a row. And when by the time I got out, it wasn't hot. Like,
a little cooler. Yeah. That's like the movie theater when it's blazing hot out is the greatest place because mm-hmm. it's you get to watch a movie, which is awesome. It's usually freezing cold in there. Mm-hmm. That's the way to do it. You can like kill numerous summer days by doing that. And then you go from movie to movie, which is like a fun little game too.
I would just sleep sometimes too.
Just sleep if it was an extra bad movie.
I'd be like, Fantastic Four. I'm going to fall asleep during this because it
but
sucks.
A lot of times too, though. But like, if you tell people, like, yeah, I just went and saw it by myself, people would be like, what? You couldn't find a friend or anything to go with by yourself? But you're kind of a loner.
I enjoy being alone.
Yeah,
I'm sort of never alone. So.
Right. Yeah, because you're in a world where you're not allowed to be alone
much. I'm not allowed.
So when you are alone, is it kind of like, ooh, this is nice?
Absolutely.
Is that like running and stuff like that? So you can like,
yep. I mean, there isn't a single situation you can think of where you're supposed to be alone, and people haven't like barged in and invaded my space.
Yeah, because like at the movie, some guy just came like, like you in your sleep, you must have nightmares of people just coming at you with iPhones, like. With their arm out, with their iPhone, like
God, you witnessed that,
dude.
You witnessed,
dude.
That.
Yeah.
I have a bad reputation.
For a second, I was like, "Well, here he comes over to ask me for a picture because he's probably seen me do stand up."
because the situation is like the one you witnessed.
But yeah, no, we were just standing there talking after the movies. You guys were ready to take off. We were going to take off. We were just talking about the movie. Oh no, this was before we met.
Before.
You right before the movie, and maybe a minute we're just talking, hey, where'd you guys park? Okay, I'm gonna leave my scooter here, whatever. And then all of a sudden this guy just comes phone first, barreling in, like forget that we were talking or anything like that, and he's like, picture, picture, picture. And then you politely were like, that's not how you, you know, approach.
Yeah, it's like scolding like a five-year-old who, you know.
Yeah, it is almost like you have to be like, is that how we ask for a cookie?
Well, you saw me. That's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
I said, what's the magic word? Is that how you address somebody? You don't introduce yourself. You don't say please. You don't. And
there was almost, there at first there's like this, yeah, okay, you're messing with me. Come on, let's just take this picture. But then there's this realization of like, oh, no, you're being serious.
Deadly serious.
And it's very weird. And have you ever seen the King of Comedy?
I know I have.
With Jerry Lewis and Robert De Niro. De Niro's fat. He's got a mustache. His name is Rupert Pupkin in it.
Well, maybe I
have. And he wants to get on. Jerry Lewis has like this talk show. It's like the big talk show.
No, I don't think I've seen it.
All right. So De Niro's this like failed stand-up comedian. And do you ever see the Seinfeld episode where they have like the set of the Merv Griffin show and Kramer has it in his apartment? And he's doing like a fake talk show in his apartment.
Yeah.
All right. So it's kind of a spoof off of that. So Rupert Pupkin lives at home. And if you ever listen to Howard Stern, you'll hear De Niro going, Mom! Like they play this clip a lot. And he's like, I'm busy because the mom is upstairs. She'll open the door. He's doing like a fake talk show in his basement. And he's got the whole set and everything. And he's got like cardboard cutouts of everybody. And he's like, oh, like Liza Minnelli, you're too funny. Isn't she just America's sweetheart? And he's got like a fake laugh track and everything. It's insane. And the mom will like open the door and she's like, Rupert, I'm trying to sleep. And he's like, Mom, I'm recording. Complete lunatic, right?
Sounds like Cabana.
But there's a scene in it where Jerry Lewis is walking to work. He's walking to his show. And this woman stops him and she's on a payphone and she's like, Will you talk to my son? You've got to talk to my son. And he's just like, I don't have time. And she's like, oh, I'm such a big fan. He's your biggest fan. And he's like, honestly, I'm so sorry. I don't have time. And as he's walking away, she goes, you should die of cancer.
Yeah.
And he's just like, Jesus.
I get that all the time.
Yeah. You get cancer wished upon you all the time by people.
Yep. I mean, not that specifically, but instances like that. Yeah.
Yeah, which is like so.
Oh, can you say I got thrown out of an IHOP a couple weeks ago.
What for?
Well, I don't really know. let's see. I was sitting there with my bus driver and Kofi. The waitress comes by, takes our drinks. A couple kids came up with like their parents. You know, we signed stuff.
What's the proper way to approach you? If people are listening right now, ready to take notes, with the proper way to approach you?
Just be normal, you know.
Don't come iPhone first.
Yeah, just, you know, hi, excuse me, how you doing? My name is. I'm a big fan. Do you mind if my son?
Can you sign these 50 glossy photos of you?
Right.
That I'm not going to sell on eBay.
Right. So we signed for a couple people, and then one of the servers, not our server, comes by and he goes, hey, can I get your autograph? And then I just looked at him. I go, you work here. Why? What do you?
Yeah.
Is there no sense of decorum whatsoever? And he didn't know what that word meant.
Sure.
So
he works at IHOP.
Yeah. He just like kind of walked away in a huff. Then our food got there and then more people came up and I said politely, can you guys wait till we're done eating? You know? And some guy said, I bought four tickets. These are my kids. I bought four tickets to go to the show. You know, you owe me. This is legit.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't owe you anything. I'll take care of you and your kids when we're done eating. And he's like, well, we're leaving now. So I said, well, I don't care. I'm eating now, you know. And then he called me an asshole. I think I called him fatso. And then there was some shouting. And then I stood up, and then the hostess came over and said, "Sir, this is a family restaurant. I'm gonna have to ask
Did
you."
Did you go? But I don't have a family.
I'm gonna have to ask you to keep it down. And I said, "Okay, that's fine. I'm gonna have to ask you to keep everybody the hell away from my table." And then she said, "I have to ask you to leave, sir." And I just went, "Fine." And I walked out the
emergency door. I'll take my pancakes and eat them on my bus.
I didn't even take the food. And I walked out the emergency exit and set off the alarm.
Nice.
And we went down the street to some, I don't know, truck stop.
That's bizarre. And like, how long did it take you to get used to that? Like, oh, okay, this is the deal now. People are going to come up to me.
I'm still not used to it. Because it all depends on what happens during the day, what kind of mood I'm in. you know, all these things matter. I could be dead tired at 4 a.m, you know, be hungry and starving and, you know, my knees swollen or, you know, like whatnot. And I don't want to talk to anybody, not
and
a fan,
just have no,
not my sister. Not, you know what I mean?
Like, you kind of see them coming. Like, you can see, like, there's that little, like, hesitation, and they're looking at you a little bit, and you're probably like,
it's why I wear the Dr. Dre headphones, because they're big and they're obnoxious, and I would always think, if these are on and my hat's down, people are going to get it. But
Have you ever saw somebody and you think, like, oh, here we go, and they, like, clearly weren't looking to talk to you or whatever, and you're like, oh, geez, like, you're almost, like, on the defense too much now about worrying about this?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, like, we talked about this, too, with, like, so you'll be in a situation where, again, you think, like, they're ready to come talk to you, and then they go and ask, like, Cabana for an autograph or something, and you're just like, what?
Yeah.
I think that would be so
bizarre.
That's
awesome.
That's got to be so awesome.
I laughed so hard at that. It was great.
I had that with him. We were hanging out, like, at a bar, and somebody was like, hey, man, are you – and they, like, knew me from comedy or whatever, and I'm just like, yes. And they left, and I just looked over at Cabana, and I was like, oh,
that's
shit.
That's one that just, you know, like, it makes me, okay, big shot, you know, like, relax.
Yeah, but it's very cool. And then have you, because, like, another thing that was, like, weird, and I remember one of the first times we hung out, we went to the Guns N' Roses concert.
Yeah.
And we're, like, on the side of this, or backstage or whatever, and, like, we're in Axl Rose's dressing room or whatever. And I was like, is this weird for you, or are you just like, eh, whatever? And you're just like, it's always very weird. Like, you've probably been in so many weird situations or just, like, interactions with people where it's like, there still has to be times where you're just like, oh, wow, this is weird. I'm just like a kid from Chicago, and I'm sitting in.
Well, I try to approach every situation like that. I still laugh at stuff.
Bizarre. It's so bizarre to just be like, this guy is one of the biggest rock stars of all time, and he's right over there, and right, we're about to watch our friend.
No, I always try to approach everything with that kind of sense of levity, you know? I've never forgotten where I came from, you know?
And you see, so you've had the situations before, too, where it's like people have, like, big-leagued you or whatever, and you're just like, that is not cool.
Right.
Have you have any examples?
Of people big-leaguing
you? Yeah, where you're just like, ugh.
I think I was talking to Cabana about this earlier because he mentioned wanting to, spoiler alert for anybody who listens to The Art of Wrestling, he mentioned wanting to get Chris Harris on his podcast. And I was like, oh, that's, you know, it's a good idea. See if you can, you know, open up about, you know, all his stories and stuff like that. And then I just told him a story about, I mean, 10 years ago, you know, I was working for TNA. And the Cowboys were big shots. They were Bert Prentice's guys. Like, they were rumored to be getting, you know, like $1,000 a shot, you know, like, you know what I mean?
That's like crazy money,
right,
at the
and
time.
And there was like a downstairs locker room, and then there was like an upstairs. It wasn't even really a locker room, it was just kind of like up in the rafters area. And Chris Harris one time told me that the downstairs locker room was for the top guys, and I had to go change upstairs.
Oh.
Yeah, and I was just like, that's whatever, man. That's cool, you know. Like, he was a Nashville guy, and he was a big part of the pay per views back then. And I was just, you know,
just working,
lonely old CM Punk, and, like, you know. And then you fast forward, I don't know how many years, and he's coming up and doing dark matches and stuff for WWE. And
Braden,
I was about the only, I'm pretty sure I was like the only quote unquote familiar face he saw. And, like, you know, he was all about it. Like, hey, brother.
It's funny how they come back.
Yeah.
To that.
And I was just like, you know, like, he went in for the hug and I just stuck the hand out. He got like the diva treatment. Like,
yeah,
all the divas always want to, like, hug.
Yeah.
And I was just positioned myself to, like, stick my hand out and shit, you know? Because if I'm seen hugging one, that means I've slept with them, you know. So I don't want to be accused of sleeping with Chris Harris. So I just stuck my
hand
out.
You guys
hug,
and everyone's like, I knew it.
And it's like, you know, and I don't, I have no ill will to either of them. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a situational thing, you know.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, like, a lot of these sayings or cliches or whatever, it's like, there's a reason why people say, you know, like, watch out who you step on the way up, because you might have to see him on the way down, or things like that.
I got big leagued by Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
I think this is on the Steve Austin DVD.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's where I remember.
Whereas,
that story.
Like, I was ECW at the time. It was the Raw 15th anniversary. I was like every time I would try to go in the locker room, like the security guard posted at the locker room would be like, "Hey, where the hell are you going?" And I'm like, "Dude, what do you, you know?" Like, "Show me your ID." Like literally like three times. And the third time I was just like, "Ah, oh, fuck." So I started carrying the title with me.
You know? Here's my ID, yeah.
Right. And then I walked out of the locker room for something, and Hogan's walking down the hallway with his entourage, which did include Brutus Beefcake in like designer jeans and
oh,
like,
with like all the
well, they were both like designer jeans. What is that? Faith? What is it?
Bad Religion, like True Religion or something.
Yeah,
they got like rhinestones and right? buttons
they had
those
jeans on with the just the bedazzled shirts.
Affliction.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they just looked
like fanny packs.
They just looked like old dudes trying to dress young.
Yeah.
You know. And I stepped right out in front of everybody, and I stuck my hand out, and I go, "Hey Hulk, my name's T. Adam." Whoa! And he just right around me, and I'm standing in the hallway looking at my hand, laughing
because it's
so
ridiculous.
A couple minutes ago, and I'm going, "Well, that's kind of funny. I'm just a kid from Chicago, you know." And then I hear, "Hey, you straight edge rascal!" And down the hallway comes like jolly old Steve Austin, you know what I mean? And I still got my hand out, and I go, "Oh, hey, Mr. Austin." And I stuck my hand out, and he like smacks it away and hugs me, you know? So
that's almost like you see some girl and you're like, "Hi." And she just walks by and you're like, "Oh." And then you turn around, there's a hotter girl like, "Hey."
And she's immediately
and
blowing
you.
You.
Big hug. Yeah. That's, I mean, that's, I just, yeah, because I obviously you're more like down to earth than a lot of people would probably be in your situation. So you're just like my friends meet you and they're like, "So it's a cool guy," and it's like, yeah, he's not like. I don't think
there's
Hulk Hogan.
There's a lot of stories out there.
I don't think Hulk Hogan would have come to my birthday party. You know
I think
what I
there's
mean?
A lot of people out there that hear a lot of stories.
I've been asked that, and they're like, "Was he mean to you at first?" You have this aura of like people like your first CM Punk encounter is never very good or whatever.
I don't doubt a lot of people's stories and stuff like that, but it's like I said, I'm not defensive. I don't think that's the word. I think I'm just, you know, I'm cautious.
You just kind of take it in, take everybody in.
Yeah, but I have no reason to put myself out there. Like, if I don't know you, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, you know, like, I'm not going to spit on you and, you know what I mean? But I spend time with my friends and my life is like everyone's take. When you do an autograph signing, if you do an autograph signing for 2 hours, it's exhausting because you're constantly putting stuff out. You're giving. People are taking handshakes, smile, picture, autograph.
Like a meat piece of meat almost.
Legit.
It's just like,
yeah, they're. I mean, and it's whether it's all positive. You know,
have you ever seen that show Toddlers and Tiaras?
Yes.
Do you ever feel like you're one of those little girls?
No.
Like, can you identify with one of
those?
Time.
I don't know if I can identify with those little girls. That
you know what's
so going
to happen? 20 years from now, you're going to date one of those girls because you both will understand what it's like to be positioned around like a little doll.
I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that.
You'd be like, "How'd you guys meet?" Funny story. Nikki was on Toddlers and Tiaras, and I was pretty much, you know, like all the WWE people are like your stage mom. Smile. They're behind the camera. Smile. And you're like pushed around like one of those kids. Mm. See, now you're thinking like you're doing math, Tony. Yeah. Okay.
I'm just thinking about JonBenet Ramsey right
well,
now.
Well, do you ever wonder how hot she would be if she was still alive?
No.
You don't?
No.
Me neither. Me neither?
That's so creepy. It's disgusting.
Okay. But going back to what you were saying as far as like taking, you know, just kind of like taking people in and let them, because I think a lot of times if you give people enough rope to hang themselves, you'll either figure out like, oh, here's a cool person, or this person's not cool at all. If you kind of just
absolutely.
Sit back or whatever. And I know that through Cabana, I have yet to meet any of his friends who I'm just like, fuck that guy. Everybody else is pretty cool, but fuck that guy. Like, he seems like a pretty good judge of character of like who he's cool with and who he's not cool with and who I've met through him. Like I said, I've never met anybody and I'm just like, ugh. Like, sometimes you meet people and you're just like, the vibe in the room changes when some of these people come around and they're just like completely negative.
Sure.
And I definitely think that, like, has that always been the case, like with your crew, like always good guys? Or every once in a while, does somebody kind of like infiltrate?
I feel like the need to say that I'm probably the worst of all of them, right?
I think
like,
you're the worst. No.
I'm probably the worst one.
Well, I'm trying to think. No, I wouldn't say that. But what do you feel like people ever get like the wrong impression of you? Like they're just like, no, you just assumed I was being a dick, but I was actually just like being quiet or wasn't in the mood to.
Well, yeah, but I also think people's perception of me is, you know, it's not necessarily me. You know, I mean, it all depends. It's all situational.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
do you feel like it's, because I think we talked about this one time too, like the idea of like just meeting a girl or whatever who like has no idea who you are, and you're like, ooh, that's kind of cool.
No, that's amazing.
Yeah,
that's fascinating. That's like my friend Kate. I'm buddies with the Bouncing Souls, mm-hmm. right? I'm not name dropping here. People probably have to Google that, but. And they played Chicago. This is like 3 or 4 years ago. They played Chicago and they were just like, you got to meet Kate. And they're trying to like hook me up with her. And I'm like not having it. You know, I'm like, no. So Brian from the Souls finally is like, are you chicken? And I have to be Marty McFly in an instance like that. And I'm like, no, fine. Here's my phone number, Kate, you know? And, like, she didn't get it. She didn't get why I was being like that, blah, blah, blah. So, like, we went on, like, one date. I think we went to a movie. We saw The Strangers.
Okay.
And I inadvertently wind up snatching a phone out of somebody's hand and breaking it in half.
During the movie?
Yeah.
Which is normal. We've all done
horrifies
that.
Horrifies Kate.
See, I wonder if I was, like, as big as you and I was at these movies, if, like, what I would do. Because I have, like, the little, you know, I'm like, oh, if I was big, what I would do to you.
But, so this horrifies Kate, and she doesn't know, she has no idea why this is going down. She doesn't know anything, and I'm just like, oh, we got to go, you know, like, so we wind up leaving, because I just, you know, committed a crime, pretty much.
Crimes in movie theaters.
I figure, I can't go to the movies, it's bad. You should hear the story about me and Cabana going to see Machete. That's a bad story.
All right.
So we leave and I figure I'm never seeing this girl. And then like the next day she calls me and she goes, so I Googled you. And I was just like, why did you do that?
Because that's the way it is now with anybody.
You could have been the one.
Yeah. The secret. And just to act like, well, that'd be like a horror movie. Like some girl like, I don't know anything about you. Who are you? And you're like, oh, I'm just some dude. You hang out and like everything's great. And then like the final scene is like you open up like some room in her house and there's like a shrine to you. And you're like, oh, then you turn around and it's just like knife to the stomach.
But no, she Googled me and then she's like, why didn't you tell me you were a professional wrestler? And I was just like, I just didn't think it was important. Who cares? I was fascinated by the fact that you had no idea who I was.
That's a turn on. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
Like a, that's a very cool thing because they're absolutely. Not expecting like the CM Punk experience or whatever. And they're just right. like getting to know you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's very cool. That's very interesting. So, because you guys were talking about this when you did Cabana's podcast or whatever.
I also want to point out you're very professional, Cabana. You have notes. He's got notes, ladies and gentlemen.
I do have notes.
There's a binder, a trapper keeper.
I have a trapper keeper, pencils. I have a trapper keeper, pencils, all sorts of stuff.
There's a crude drawing of the solar system on the cover.
We're going to get into that. So, there's a quiz. You're going to name your planets.
Okay.
So what are your thoughts on depression?
My thoughts on depression.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna hate me.
I know. I mean, because I know what you're gonna say. I'm not gonna hate you.
What am I gonna say?
There's no such thing as depression. And I'm gonna break your phone in half. No.
Yeah. Okay. To me,
this is what I wanted to.
I think it's a sensitive topic.
Yes.
Because I think me saying depression doesn't exist can be like me saying cancer doesn't exist.
Yes.
Because I do believe that it exists. You know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
My situations from my life and my experiences, most people who have been like, oh, I suffer from depression. And this is like, it's a very blanket statement, but they've all been bullshit. But it also goes hand in hand with me thinking this entire country is just overly self-medicated. I do think there's exceptions to the rule, and I think there's people who benefit from, you know, certain medications and benefit from therapy and benefit from stuff. But I also think there's people out there that are just maybe bummed out and they need to buy a fucking puppy and just cheer up.
I agree. Or go running or something.
Yeah. Find something you enjoy and do
it. Okay. That I agree with. Because, okay, so we watched your DVD and it talked about like your childhood and everything like that. And a lot of the stuff that you went through, that would be, for some people, that would be like, oh, I can't. Like, you definitely came out of all that. And a lot of times what I say about depression is stuff like that, growing up and having a lot of traumatic things happened, or whether it's parents not around or deaths in the family or things like that, or just a rough childhood, a lot of that makes people the interesting adults that they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of whether it's musicians or actors, or it's like, not a whole lot of them are like, yep, mom and dad loved me unconditionally, always had their support. And it's just like, you don't get that. You know what I mean? And it's like, oh, your parents used to, you know, fight all the time and your dad was an alcoholic. Like, you're going to be a very good comedian, or you're going to be a very driven person or whatever. And I think a lot of the stuff like you went through, and I have the same thing where, so when I was younger, my mom and sister both died. And then when you hear somebody be like, my great grandma died, you're like, I'm so sorry, but I have no, like, not that I have no sympathy, because I will say, like, to them, maybe that's the biggest thing that ever happened to them, you know, right. But sometimes if you go through a lot of stuff, you know, you almost get, like, desensitized, where mm-hmm. it's like you went to war and you come back and someone's like, oh my God, the guy down the street got mugged. And you're like, I've seen people's heads blown off. How right. can I feel sorry for that? Like, big deal. Then go to the license bureau and get a new license and just move on with your day. So I think a lot of people who go through a lot of that stuff, it's all very much just like, eh, okay, whatever. You know, and it's like you either let it like bring you down or you just move on and it's part of your life.
No, absolutely. I think everybody's molded by traumatic experiences in different ways. You know, there's stuff out there that'll break people.
Absolutely. And like watching your DVD, there's a lot of stuff where it's like that could have easily been just like, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to, you know, do this or do that, or why care? Why be motivated or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, do you think a lot of people will be surprised at your like upbringing?
I think so. I think a lot of people will be surprised about certain things that I talk about in my DVD, you know, because I've stated that it's not a wrestling DVD.
No.
I mean, it, especially when it's just me telling my story about, you know, like how I grew up and everything like that. And, you know, it's like your correlation about, you know, the death in the family that you had to deal with, and then somebody being like, oh, my great grandmother died, you know. Okay, well, how well did you really know him? Because, you know, like, all right, I get it. But, like, my life could have been a lot worse, too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's different. Everybody deals with the shit they do. You know what I mean? Like, that's the life I know. It could have been a hell of a lot worse. It could have been a hell of a lot better, too.
Yeah, that's the thing. And you never know, everybody walking around, you never know, like, what they've went through.
Right.
You know, somebody could just walk by and you'd be like, oh, this guy. You know, and I try not to, I often say like, you know, don't judge me or whatever. And it's like, but then I have to remember myself, don't judge other people. Cause you never know when I've had situations before where I've like pegged somebody as like, oh, this guy's going to be this or that. Then you talk to him and you're like, oh, okay. Pretty cool.
Way wrong.
Yeah. I was way wrong. I'm sorry. You know, then I don't want to be the guy who's like, man, when I first met you, I thought you were going to be a dick and you weren't. It's like, let people kind of be who they are and figure it out or whatever. But going back to, you know, talking about like therapy and medication and stuff, obviously, like you said, you feel like it helps some people and some people, cause I didn't take any medication for the longest time. And I was just like, nope, don't want to try it. Cause I tried a couple things and they were like very, I did not feel like normal. I felt like medicated
right.
and just like completely kind of like out of it. And then finally I was like, I'm going to try something else. And it's been awesome. And it's like that to me is like, okay, this is something where it helps me. But I think there are other people who are just like numbing themselves.
Yeah. Well, I know somebody who, oh, I'm depressed. So I take this pill, but then this pill makes me fat. So then I have to take this one to counteract the one side effect from the first pill. But then that pill makes me break out. So then I take a third pill to, you know, and then it's just like, okay.
And you have to wonder like, what is all this doing? Like, in your, you know,
chemicals, you
in your body,
chemicals.
All these chemicals or whatever, like you're taking all these different things or whatever. But I know that, you know, definitely like therapy and medication or whatever has definitely helped. But I mean, that's not the only thing. Like if I just did that and sat there and been like, okay, that wouldn't be enough for me. Like the fact that I do comedy, that like helps me.
It's therapeutic.
Yeah,
right?
It's absolutely therapeutic. And doing what I want to do, that helps me. Like, I think a lot of people don't realize, like, just you can do whatever you want to do. And it doesn't have to be, like, the biggest thing in the world. Like, I'm sure there's a wrestler out there who's just, like, wrestling once a month or once a week. But for them, that's, like, the biggest thing.
Right.
And they get a huge – I mean, you wrestled for – they show some of the IWA Mid-South things. And you guys are wrestling in these small gymnasiums. But I'm sure some of those – nights rank up there with wrestling at Madison Square Garden. For
I'll give you an example. Yeah, I think anybody can do anything that they want. And here's an example for you. I am loosely talking to a comic book company about writing a comic book. I have no idea how to write a comic book. And if you, like, you know, I sat and I was talking to certain people, and I'm just not naming names because, you know, like, it's going to happen, but not anytime soon kind of thing, you know. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And they just go, well, write about what you, write something that you would want to read. And I was just like, oh, yeah, okay. And sure, I don't know anything about it, but fuck it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Anybody can do anything you set your mind
to. The thing is, and I'm sure you've heard this before or even said it before, like, if you listen to, like, watch any, like, the documentaries on punk, your punk music or whatever, it's just like, if you didn't like the bands, then make a band that you liked.
Exactly.
Be the band you, and I say that to other comedians, like, if you walked out on stage, would you want to see you?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you be like, I'm going to fast forward? If you're watching like a showcase show, like, you know, like the like premium blend or something, and you came out on stage and you had a fast forward button, would you be like, I'll watch this guy, or like, nah, I'm going to fast forward through this?
One of my favorite lyrics of all time off the New Wave album, Against Me, we can be the bands we want to hear.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't like something, you like music, but you don't like what's on the radio, then play your own music. It's like, I like wrestling, but a lot of times I don't like, you know, the product. Like, so I do something I like, you know?
You could, exactly. It's just you love wrestling, but you're like, I'm not getting what I like out of it. The stuff I like about wrestling, I don't see anymore. Then do that.
Do it,
and then
right.
Be that. And as far as like the comic book thing or whatever, I'm sure you have a lot of people out there who will even be like, what do you know about writing a comic book? And there's like so many people who just like will instantly throw that, like, you know, and I remember
haters.
I saw a documentary on the writers of the Beat Generation, and they were someone was interviewing Ken Kesey, who wrote One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, they were interviewing him, and he's like, I think we can be as big as we want to be and dream whatever you want to dream. And some guy literally goes, what gives you the right to think that? Like, what gives you the right to think we can dream and do all this stuff? And it's like, huh? And I think about that with my head, because, like, one of the things...
Was that,
like,
was that man who asked him that question wearing a swastika?
Yeah,
because
what gives you
like
the
a very...
Right. Yeah.
That you are not allowed to
what
think?
What gives you the right to dream? Yeah. But I think back to... Because I didn't start doing comedy till I was, like... 28. Like, I didn't start. I started so late. And I think there's times where I'll be like bummed out. Like, if I would have started when I was 18 or 21, but it's like,
you can't think like that.
But then also I think about like my brain at that time or my brain, like being like, I got to go to college and get a job. And it was just like, okay, not that there's anything wrong with that, but like my brain at that time wasn't able to like dream almost. And I didn't have anybody in my life being like, do whatever you want to do. You know, like, I have a nephew now, and he's going to turn 20. And I'm like, do whatever you want to do. There's always going to be, like, regular jobs. Do whatever you want
to
do.
I never had anybody, like, I figured that out on my own. I never had anybody in any kind of position of authority or responsibility over me, like, tell me, like, hey, do whatever you want to do. Like, you know, if you want to be a fry cook, be a fry cook.
Be the best fry cook, yeah.
Nothing. The only thing I ever got was... You want to be a wrestler? That's stupid. You know,
like, how many legit. People? In your life, how many people do you think told you, like, you want to do what? You want to be a wrestler? That's
I mean,
no.
It was universal. The only people who ever really encouraged me were like my peers. Yeah, you know, like my friends, people my age. You know, it was never nobody who ever, you know, was any in, like I said, any position of authority or anything like that. I remember. I want to say it was like the last couple weeks, maybe last month of high school, and I finally met my high school guidance counselor because I had just blown off everything else and like never met him or her. And then it was finally like, what colleges have you applied to? And I was like, none. Oh, well, why not? Well, number one, there's no money, you know, so I can't go. Number one was probably, I don't want to go. Number two was, I can't go if I wanted to go. So it's a good thing, referencing number one, is I don't want to go. you know, and then it was, no, you need to go to college. And I was a smart ass 17-year-old kid. 17. Yeah. I graduated when I was 17. Yeah. 17 years old, senior in high school, you know, graduating, going out into the world and knowing like this is all bullshit. Like knowing most everybody I was graduating with just had the best 4 years of their life.
That's it.
And knowing like I'm gonna go do this, and you know, like I don't have to bother telling you what I'm gonna go do because you're just gonna laugh at me. You're just gonna be like every other quote unquote grown up who's told me, no, that's stupid. You should be an accountant. You should go to school. You know. Oh, they say you're
taking
Miss Cotherell says you're good at art. You should be an artist. Well, guess what? I fucking hate art now because of Miss Cotherell. You know what I mean? Like, so no, I'm going to go do this, and I don't have to bother explaining it to you. You know, because this is it's just you being a guidance counselor is just a job to you.
Yeah, and it's weird to think.
You can't tell me that's what you wanted to be.
Yeah,
when you grew
did
up.
You want to be a guidance counselor growing up? Like, yeah, it was my dream come true. I liked guiding people, and people were like, you know what? You should really.
I like talking to kids that don't give a shit about anything I'm saying.
I like people, as soon as they leave, do the jerk off sign when once their back is to me or whatever. But I think that people just love to shit on like dreams and dreamers and stuff. And I think that's crazy that just like you want to what?
Pass me those nibs, man. Those
and but they're just like. People love to shit on a good dream. And like you said about the high school was the best 4 years of some people's lives. To me, I think what's awesome is that like last year for me was awesome. And this, you know, it's like, it's getting better. Like my life, like there was a point during my 20s where I was like, oh shit. Cause I was so depressed and I was
just,
you
know what I hear a lot? I hear 33 is like the peak. And then after 33, it's all over with.
Wow. That's
I'm screwed.
It gets better. Like those videos, it gets better. I'll be like, hey man, 34 was awesome for me. And then my 35th birthday, I'm wearing a wrestling trunks and I have a Weezer cover band. It was like, it was crazy. I'm like, this is too bizarre to think.
Life is only as good as you make it.
That's it. And it was one of those nights where I was able to sit back and like all my comedy friends were there and you, Amy, and Cabana were there. I was just like, this is too bizarre. I had a Weezer. Like it was one of those nights when you go to, and I'm sure you have a lot of these, you're going to bed and you're just like, holy shit, this is my life.
Yeah.
Like this is amazing.
I threw myself. It's a damn shame I didn't know you back then, but I threw me and old Cliff. Me and Domino threw, because his birthday's a week after mine. I think it's the 2nd of November. If I'm wrong, oh well. We're both turning 30, and I rented Subterranean.
Oh, okay.
And threw like, it was just the hell with it. We're throwing ourselves a 30th birthday party. Yeah, and it was just retarded stupid.
Yeah.
I specifically told everybody, like, you're not getting in unless you have a costume on. And there were people who came and they're like, hey. And I was like, get the fuck out. Like, so we're throwing people out.
You're committed
to
it.
Yeah, no, 100%. You had to have a costume on.
What was your costume
on
that night?
I was a zombie.
And what was Cliff?
Cliff, what the fuck was Cliff? Oh, God, I can't remember.
Axl Rose?
No. Chez showed up as Slash.
All right.
That was good. But I think the best costume award went to Joey Mercury, Timmy Baltimore, and Hornswoggle.
Quite a crew.
They showed up.
Quite a crew.
Deuce, Domino, and Cherry.
Yes. Who was who?
Hornswoggle's
Cherry. Yes.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant. I can't remember what the hell Cliff was.
But yeah, you had that. And that's your 30-year-old. But like, that's like most people's 30th birthday parties. They get like over the hill mugs.
Had like
a
horrible cover band play. You know, it was awesome. Everybody had a good time. There was a giant cake. There was a fight. We had horror movies playing on a projector, like on the wall the whole time. It was a John Hughes movie.
And I remember as a kid thinking like 35. Oh my God, you're going to be like married with kids in a day. And it's like, I mean, I live like my buddy. I just did a podcast earlier. I had interviewed one of my buddies in my bedroom, and he's like, I was like, what do you think? And he's like, yeah, this looks like a high school kid who's really into wrestling. It's like, this is my bedroom. It looks like a, like, I've had, like, I brought, like, girls home, and they're like, oh, you really like wrestling? And I'm like, yep. And then it's, but it's one of those things, too, where it's like, I don't feel like an adult or whatever. Like, I feel like I'm, like, a man boy or, like, Peter
Pan
or whatever.
But you're not insecure in who you are.
No, not at all. And that's the thing, too. When you can just own it and be like, this is who, like, I like people like that. I like people who just own it, and they're like, this is me, this is who I am.
I can't hang around anybody else. I can't do insecure.
Or the people, because so you in we're in an area in Chicago where you walk outside and you're going to see a lot of people who look like they're just like trying way too hard or like trying to overcompensate or something, or you go to some of these other neighborhoods and everyone just looks like, I want to think like, are you even having fun? Is this fun for you guys right now? Because it looks like it's like, or I see like girls, it's like, you know, they just seem like they're just trying so hard, and it's like one little comment could send them off the handle and they'll go, or these guys, it looks like you just like look at them for too long. They'll be like, whoa, what are you looking at me for? And you see so much like insecurity. And I just have to wonder, like, do you guys have fun? Like, I have fun with my friends where I'm like crying. I'm having so much fun.
Right.
And I wonder, I'm like, are you guys having fun?
Maybe they are.
Maybe they are.
Different strokes.
I don't think it's as much fun as...
But I don't see them dressing that way in 5-10 years.
No.
I've dressed the exact same way since high
school. This is it.
Like eighth grade. Like,
this is it.
I was poor. I had one pair of jeans and one pair of shoes, and everyone else was running around in designer junk, and I was ashamed because I didn't have that designer junk, and now I'm like completely thankful for not ever having that.
That's why I always think, like, if you could go back, like they'll say, like, if you can go back and talk to yourself, like... 10 years ago or whatever, just be like, just keep doing what you're doing. It'll all work out or whatever. But I do like the idea of it always getting better or whatever. And like, I'll always have people be like, what are you going to do when you're an old man and you have all these tattoos? I'm like, I don't know. Look awesome.
Right.
Like, it's, you know, this idea of like,
all the time,
you're going to regret all these. It's like, what
are those going to look like when you're old? I'm going to look twice as cool as you because you're going to look shitty and old, but with no tattoos. I'm going to look shitty and old, but with like awesome tattoos.
Yeah, your grandkid's going to want to come talk to me and be like, I bet you had fun when you were my age or whatever.
There's actually, what are those things called on the internet?
Memes?
Memes? Is that how to pronounce it?
Yeah.
There's
memes
one.
Memes or memes, I don't
there's
know.
There's one, just three grizzled old sailor, you know, full chest pieces, tattoos like up and down, and they're all sitting around like they got their arms around each other, big smiles on their faces, and it's like... And I've ruined the story, but I can't remember exactly what it said, but I think that's the thing. It's like, what are those tattoos going to look like when you're older? And it's like, oh, I don't know, badass. Like,
yeah,
these
awesome
three dudes.
Yeah,
you know, like
awesome. And it looks like you've lived a pretty interesting life.
Right.
All right. So what we do now is I'm going to ask you 10 questions. Have you ever taken like an online depression test? This doesn't officially mean anything. I just want you to know that. I'm not a doctor.
Okay.
Question number one. These are all just yes or no answers. Question number one, do you feel irritable?
Yes.
Ooh.
Is that like right now or just like...
Just in general.
In general?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm irritable. Yeah.
Nice.
I can't lie. I can't say no. Everybody listening to this podcast
would be like, what?
Bullshit.
Yeah. Everybody you work with would be like, did that guy just say he's not irritable? All right. Number two, have you lost interest in activities you once enjoyed?
Like, it's happened, yes.
Like what? What's something you lost
interest in? Like, not currently. Like, there's not currently anything in my life that I do that I don't want to. But I'm saying, you know, but wrestling is my job. Wrestling was also something I love. Some days are better than others. There has been a time, and you can watch my DVD and learn when get maybe disenfranchised with something that I love.
Yeah, that was an interesting part of it, how you were just ready to be like, I'm done. And you were just like really looking. Because I think a lot of people hear you being like, I'm going to go sit on my couch. And they're like, oh, you were just saying that. But it's like you were ready to
just watch.
That definitely comes through on the DVD that like that wasn't just a like way to like, I'm going to tell them I'm going to sit on my couch and
Yeah,
and then they'll give me more money or whatever.
Contract, no.
But it was like, what did you have any plan? Like, what? I mean, like, obviously you were going to sit on your couch, but like, did you have any big plans or anything? Had you taken some time off?
No, legit, like, sit on my couch was like the thing. Because you also have to realize that I don't know what my excuse is for continuing, but you have to realize how like burnt out and injured I was. My hip had exploded, and I just rehabbed the hell out of that. Like, my elbow is constantly.
Was that the worst, the hip?
Mess. I think so. I mean, I narrowly avoided getting surgery on the hip. I did get my elbow surgerized, I like to say.
Surgerized.
Yes.
Very technical term.
Yes, absolutely. My guidance counselor would be proud of me.
You want to surgerize people? Go to medical school. Luke Gallows is your guidance counselor?
That would be awesome.
Can you imagine him like growing out the hair a little bit?
I don't want him anywhere near children. Not even his own. Not even his own.
As a guidance counselor? But just the idea of like sitting on your couch, going to like concerts at the Metro every once in a while, just riding your bike around Chicago.
Sit on my couch and wait until I got stir crazy. Probably wouldn't have taken long, but things kind of like a bucket list thing, things I want to do before I die. You drive across country. So like if I got bored, I'd be like, I got to go out and do something. Take the L straight to O'Hare, walk up to the ticket counter, and literally just be like, give me the next flight out. Whatever the next
wherever
flight
it is, just
wherever
go.
It is. And just land, and then just go
adventure.
Walk the earth like Kane in Kung Fu.
Not Kane the wrestler.
No.
I'm sure Kane walks the earth too, though.
He does.
So no plan or whatever, but just kind of like play
wasn't
it by
getting
ear.
Wasn't going to go wrestle in Japan, wasn't going to go wrestle anywhere, wasn't going to do anything.
That's this book I've been reading is this idea of like, don't have plans, no plans, no expectations.
Plans,
yeah. And just this idea of like, when you don't have these expectations or whatever, just kind of see where everything goes. Cause if you don't expect anything, you're never going to be let down.
Yep.
But also this idea, cause like, especially in stand up, everyone's like, if I don't get on Comedy Central in a year, and it's like, I would love that. It would be great. Or to do Conan or something would be great. But it's like, I'm not putting my happiness on, because then you're putting it in someone else's hands.
Right.
So it's like, if these people don't say yes to me, then all my work is, you know, all for nothing, or I'm like a failure.
I'd imagine comedy is a lot like wrestling.
It's much like wrestling.
Gratification.
It's so much like
it. If you suck, you know it.
If you suck, you know
it. If people are laughing, it's got to make you feel good, right?
Right.
You're
and,
cool.
And like wrestling, sometimes people just decide that's the guy and they move up and you're like, but he's not funny. And they're like, no, he's funny enough.
Oh, but he's fat.
Yeah. But no, there are times too. Or like you said, so in pro wrestling, okay, this guy's 6'5" and he's just jacked to the gills and they go, yeah. And like, well, he's not a great wrestler. No, but yeah. Yeah, some guy could come out who's just like fat as shit and has a funny look to him. People are like, oh,
yeah.
And it's the same thing where you're like, no, but
open
we're
bar.
Really trying.
He's so
yeah.
funny.
Yeah, we're just really trying. They're just like, but there's so many different things. And it's like, we all start these lower levels and we're driving around in cars full of, you know, and we're sharing hotels and all this stuff. And you're just trying. And like the idea, like hopefully one day I'm just like, wow. Because right now it's like $100 a show. Wow. It's like, I hope there's a day where I look back and I'm like, wow, I remember when I thought that was like a big amount of money. But yep. But like in no way, shape or form am I like, God damn it, I deserve more right now. I'm just like enjoying every minute of it. And the fact that like I can work part time now and do this. And like, mm-hmm. I'm like, it's like,
that's cool, right?
It's so good. It's so rewarding. All right. Question number three. Have you experienced changes in your weight or appetite?
No.
Still there, still acts. But like, but you've changed, again, going back to your DVD, they show those old, like, when you showed up in OVW, and you thought, like, to be a WWE superstar, you got it. And you were, like, all bulked up. And
that's
it,
just food.
It looked like you, kind of. But, yeah. like when you see, I mean, any of the DVD, when you watch it, is it weird? Because it's like you're watching your whole life. You know, of course, they didn't have, like, all the stuff when you were, I mean, but they had, like, wrestling in the backyard, like your LWF stuff. Wrestling in the backyard, and then, you know, all throughout IW. Like, when you see all those, obviously you remember those times, but are you just like, does it seem like it's so far away, or does it seem like it was just yesterday, or kind of a mixture of both?
No, yeah, it's definitely a mixture of both, you know. It's mind-blowing. The DVD, and I don't mean to turn your podcast into a
an infomercial for your DVD, yeah.
But the the damn thing just blows my mind.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
it was so like
I watched it alone. The first time I got it, they gave me the copy of it, and it sat like on my bus for 3 weeks, and I didn't want to touch it. Because like,
why?
I literally,
just you were
just
like,
because the first night I was like, oh, I'm gonna watch this, and I put it in, and then I like it dawned on me like, oh god, wait, no, I don't want to watch this, and it freaked me out. And then I watched it by myself, and like I was going through this gambit of emotions. Like I was getting embarrassed. I mean, there's nobody with me. I'm watching it alone, and I'm blushing at certain things, and yeah. I'm like, oh Jesus, cringing at certain things and stuff like that, and like watching it with. You, Amy, and Cabana was just weird, you know?
You're kind of like watching us watch you.
Yeah, it's just strange. It's literally like I did an interview with Sun Times, and they were asking me about it, and I said it's like I felt like I was at my own funeral. Like I felt like watching my life like flash before my eyes.
Well, what was cool too is like you would say to Cabana, like, you remember that guy? Like they'd show some like old, you know, you're like, oh, remember that guy?
We're freaking out about the guys in the background on some of the IWA clips.
Yeah, there's some where it's like if you know, and you're watching, you're like, you remember that guy? Or you know, where did that guy ever end up? Or things like that where you get to watch and you're like, this is your life. Like I can't put on a DVD and be like, oh my God, remember that one guy that like did comedy right when we all started, and where'd that guy go? You know, but it's like the idea that a lot of it is captured and you can watch it is pretty crazy. And
it's weird.
Because like and the other thing too that I respect about you is you're watching it and you're like, oh, they're gonna have to fix that, or that's too loud. It's like you're watching it and you're like, you said you wanted bands that you like on it. Mm-hmm. It's not the regular, just, you know, whatever, you know, generic music they're gonna play. And you seem to like take charge of it, or like kind of micromanage it a little bit. And like you were saying, you're like, when you're putting it together, you're like, it's going to be like nothing you've seen. I'm making sure of it. And I would assume some guys have DVDs that come out and they've never even seen them, you know, like, I don't know.
They could care less.
Yeah. They could care less. Like, you know, not to name any names.
I find that weird. Cause I'm very much a control freak. This is, talking about Miss Cothrell's art class. It's the reason why when I was in art, I had three art classes my senior year. It was like the one thing I was good at. I would constantly do some facsimile of a self-portrait because I was notorious for like starting something and not finishing it. And if I did a self-portrait, I wouldn't half-ass it because it was me. And I didn't want to make myself look like shit, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. It's also, so that's why.
That's got to be like some weird, fascinating Freudian thing that I'm sure some psychologist would have a field day with, or psychiatrist or whatever. But like that was my motivation for that. And this DVD is me. It's my life. It's my story. It's 100% the truth. I told everybody who got interviewed, like, tell the truth. Don't be corny. Don't be phony. Don't be bullshit.
Don't pull any punches, because no. You don't pull any punches. Like, these are guys who aren't like gone, so you could be like, yeah, hey, that guy was an idiot. It's like, these are people you work with,
right,
that you'll bump into, and mm-hmm. you're just like, you know, so-and-so, I don't think he's a great wrestler. So-and-so, right. I thought. And it was like, because I had talked to you about a while back, and you were just like, that should have been me in the main, you know, in the main event at WrestleMania, was it 27? You're like, I should have been in the main event. Or 28, you're like, I should have been in the main event. And you're like, not him. And then on the DVD, it's same thing. I should have been. It's like, you're not pulling any punches. Like, well, you know, I guess everybody decides. You're like, no, that should have been me. I was the best bad guy at that time.
Yes, I do.
And
not,
the best guy
I do
for
not
the role.
Know how to pull punches.
Yeah. So it's, and it's, that's what people have come to expect from you. So right. It's like, but going back to what you're saying about like, you know, the self-portrait or whatever, your career is you. It's all you. You're not like hiding behind, and you're not a writer and like, oh, other people are doing that. That's just, it's all you.
Yeah.
And I think you can tell the difference between guys who are there to just collect a check and then guys who are there to be like, I love this. I want to do this, and I want to be the best person and the cool, you know, if I'm going to be a heel, I'm going to be the best bad guy I can be, or if I'm going to be that, I'm going to be the best this I can be. And I think the people who care about it, and it goes the same thing with like music or movies or TV. It's like the good stuff are just like, that's good. And you can tell, you know, people don't half-ass it on, you know, like Breaking Bad or whatever. Nobody's like half-assing it on there. All these shows that people love, seldom are people like, they just like half-ass it or whatever. These are like people who care the quality they put out. And if they right. put out something terrible, they'd be like, I can't even be, so I'm going to quit. If I'm associated with this, I'll quit. Mm-hmm. I'd rather quit than be associated with it. All right. Next question. Have you experienced changes in your sleep patterns? You don't sleep, so
no,
that's not.
Yeah, that's no.
When have you always just never slept?
Yeah. Well, I've always predominantly been a night owl, I guess. And my problem is I never want to go to sleep because I'm afraid I'm going to miss something. And I know how bizarre that sounds because I'll be wide awake and everybody in the world will be asleep. And I just sit there waiting. It's like I just sit there waiting. Yeah, like, hey, who wants to hang out? Who wants to talk? That's kind of what is the cool thing about Twitter is I can just kind of converse with people on Twitter.
Yeah, or you just, like, text everybody. Yeah. Like, are you out? Are you up?
Who wants to chat?
Who wants to chat?
Yeah, and then the other problem is it's like I love being outside, especially in the summer in Chicago. So it's just like, oh crap! It's how did it get to be 5 a.m?
It just couldn't go by quick.
Oh man, well I better get up early so I can get my workout out of the way and then enjoy the rest of the
day. Do you
ever
sleep in?
Yeah, I'm notorious for it.
Because there's a story on your DVD about where were you like? Where did you fly in from?
Australia,
and then you ran the Chicago Marathon.
Yeah,
that's
without
like
sleeping. Yeah,
that's little. I'm like watching that, and being like, man, I haven't like went to the gym and like.
I'm bizarrely proud of that, but it had to be pointed out to me that that was out of the ordinary.
Yeah, it's definitely
like because I didn't.
I think even Cabana went. Cabana even went. Jesus.
When I told Kieran, and he was like the producer of the DVD. Like when I told him that story, he was like, "Wait, what? That's amazing." And I was like, "No, not really," because it took me like 5.5 hours to finish, and I wasn't really happy with my time. And he was just like, "Did you sleep on the flight?" I was like, "No, I watched Love Actually and
that's a good movie. That's actually a
crazy,
good,
sexy.
It's a great Christmas movie."
Yeah, that's what I do on flights. I watch every available movie.
I wish that was like your favorite movie of all time.
You're no, like, it's not. Slapshot is.
Yeah. Question number 5. Do you have feelings of guilt?
No.
All right. At any party when you started, obviously, like you make a couple bucks wrestling. Any part of it feel like, do I deserve this or whatever? Like, you didn't feel like not guilty for making the money because obviously you did all the work or whatever.
Are you saying like when I literally made a couple dollars working for Ian Rotten?
You made a couple dollars working for Ian
Rotten.
That? No, but like,
hey guys, I just made $5 working for Ian. I feel shitty about it.
No, but you've made awesome money, and then or just to know like there's other guys who have done this who will never have that much money, and then you're like, oh man.
My attitude on that is I've worked extremely hard for everything I have. I believe I deserve everything I have. I would give it all up if, say, like Cabana would be able to experience what I've experienced. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I truly just want all my friends to be happy.
Oh, there's a thing too. I won't spoil it because there's a thing on your DVD, something that you did that I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I didn't. I actually didn't want that on there.
That was. I'm gonna let that one. But that was. How many people knew about that or before the DVD is going to come out or whatever?
I think 2.
Jeez. Are you afraid you're going to get a lot of? Because like how they say, like, you know, when you win the lottery, like all these parents, all these relatives come out of the woodwork or whatever. And they're like, hey, remember me? Like
no, I've already been.
They've all come out of the
I've
woodwork
already,
already.
I've already been dealing with that. Yeah.
Yeah. But now after what's going to you see on the DVD, you might become the. The official, like, hey,
no,
saw
me.
That part
trust
on the
me,
DVD.
I've already been that. I've already been that, but no longer.
No longer? Ah, crap. I was going to ask you a question at the end. That was going to be the big question at the end, but all right. Question number 6. Are you unable to concentrate, remember things, or make decisions?
No.
All right. All right. Question number 7. Have you experienced fatigue or loss of energy? That's a no. Number 8, have you experienced restlessness or decreased activity noticed by others?
I think I'm always restless. I don't think I've experienced a decrease in activity. Man. I'm always looking for like the next thing, you know? Like I mean to me it's like mountain climbing. You know, if I climb a mountain and I get to the summit, I need to immediately okay, what's the next? Look at that one over there. That one's higher. Let's go climb that one, you know?
Have you always been that way?
Yeah, 100%. I don't know.
How much of where you are right now in wrestling is, like, God-given talent, or how much of it is just you worked harder than everyone else?
I think 90% of it is working harder than everybody else.
Yeah,
I don't know so much about, you know, God-given talent, because I think if you look back at my career, I'm certainly a better athlete now, but I don't think I'm one of those guys that's looked at as like hell of an athlete. You know what I mean?
Blue chipper.
My training regimen is insane, and I train like a high caliber athlete. I do everything, you know, like I run marathons. I want to do a triathlon, you know, and the only thing that's stopping me from doing those things is I work Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you know, like somebody wants to run a triathlon on a Wednesday.
You're all about it.
I'm your guy.
Yeah, you can do it on Wednesdays.
But like, so, you know, like I'm in the gym like every day. I do stuff like, you know, I push and pull sleds. Yeah, I do those weird workouts.
You have like ropes all over the place.
Yeah, and yeah. You know, but it's just this is the body I was born with. You know what I mean? And I think people look at me and they're like, oh, he doesn't look like much. I will smoke anybody, or at least attempt to. You know, like, and I truly think I can.
What do you think when you watch those old like matches with like you and Cabana? Like, is it strange to watch those matches? Like, being the wrestler you are now, like, do you what? Because I mean, like, as a comedian, I'll watch like or listen to something I did like a year in or whatever, and I'm just like, oh. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you watch those matches and you're just like, oh boy?
Well, no, I don't frequently go back and watch them, but like all the clips on the DVD and the matches that are on the DVD and stuff like that. Like, I mean, you were watching it. We were howling at some of the stuff we were doing.
But back then it was like, dude, did you see what I just did?
That match was awesome.
Oh man. But you like learn now, you're like, we just went crazy. We just did a bunch of moves. It didn't mean anything. And now you can watch it with your brain now and be like, oh boy, yep. Those were the days. But it's like all that stuff is like what made you what you are today.
It's learning.
Yeah. And it's great thinking like, I thought I was the man right there. And it's just funny too, because it's no different than like, yeah, I was wearing that shirt. I thought that was the coolest shirt. And then you're like, oh, geez.
I think that's one of my favorite parts about my DVD is seeing pictures from when I was like 19 years old and I like am wearing the exact same T-shirt. Like,
yeah,
you know, what the
yeah.
Fuck?
Man, you've really changed. You're wearing the exact same T-shirt. Question number 9. Do you feel hopeless or worthless?
No. I feel the exact opposite.
Yeah.
I have no...
You're like oozing positive...
I have no shortage of confidence.
You're oozing confidence.
To a fault, probably.
And then the last one. Have you had thoughts of suicide or death?
No. Thoughts of death, I guess, maybe. But,
yeah,
but not thoughts of suicide.
Yeah. But that's the thing, too. I mean, what do you mean by that? Thoughts of death.
I mean, when I'm riding my Vespa, I'm always thinking, man, I probably should slow down and put a helmet on.
You think so? Are you allowed to ride a Vespa? Are you allowed to do that? Or is anybody getting mad if they find out you ride a Vespa around Chicago like a lunatic?
Gerald Briscoe's going to yeah, call me up and be like,
I heard you were driving a Vespa around down Michigan Avenue.
No, I don't think we have rules against that.
All right.
The NFL does, don't they?
They
like,
do,
you know, a lot
yeah.
of people are like...
Well, what, there was the guy in the Bulls they signed, the guy from Duke who like wiped on a crotch rocket right after he signed his contract.
Well, those are dangerous. You know, I ride a Vespa.
Oh, that's right. You ride a Vespa in high traffic areas.
Very fast.
Not the one of the very fast and no helmet. Not that any of that could.
Nah, that'll be all right.
Well, you have a whole 2 out of 10, so you're not depressed. You ruined my whole podcast.
I'm depressed. I'm not depressed.
You're depressed. You're not depressed. No, that was awesome. You did a good job on the test.
Yay.
Yeah, you're like real positive. That's good. Yeah. Oh, I thought you were giving me the finger. Yeah, PMA.
I am giving you the
you
finger.
You are giving
There's
me the finger.
There's a reason why my PMA tattoo is on,
is on that finger.
Finger. Yeah.
Positive mental attitude.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I think.
Want me to name drop?
Yeah.
This is a bro tattoo.
Drop it. Who'd you
this
get that
bro
one
bro tattoo. This is me, Toby Morse from H2O. And
I love it. It was like, and Gilbert Godfrey or some like crazy name. Sinbad.
No. You would never guess.
Okay.
Michael Rappaport.
What? Yeah. Even better. Michael Rappaport?
Yep.
Do you tell like Triple H, like, hey, you ask Rappaport with that
no pot. Rap called me.
Yeah,
Batista was supposed to get that movie.
Okay,
so Rap calls me and he's like, tell me about your boy Batista, is he cool? And I was like, yeah Dave's awesome, you know. Yeah, I'm doing a movie with him, you know. And I was like, why are you doing one of our movies, Mike? You know, I didn't go into it. And then Batista wouldn't resign, so they yanked the role.
Where does he have his tattoo on his middle finger as well?
Yeah,
we all. You guys all have him.
Yes.
How did Rappaport get thrown in with you guys?
Rap met Toby like in L.A. and awesome. Just the straight edge PMA thing. Like, it was just one of those things where just like Rap was like blown away by it.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's not even on the DVD.
No, it's not. I have the strangest crew.
Yeah.
In the history of the world.
I like your crew.
Legitimate.
Yeah.
Legitimate.
Yeah. Who's the one person that you're just be like, well, first of all, is WWE like, who is this Lars guy and why is he all, cause he's all over the DVD. Lars from Rancid.
Lars is referred to as Uncle Lars.
Uncle Lars.
Around Titan Towers.
Okay.
Which he, you know, Lars being such a huge wrestling fan, he loves it.
I remember I was blown away because in his hotel room at Mania, he had a DVD player and like Wrestling from Japan playing. And I remember too, he was so bummed because we were at the High Spots convention, and Lars was so bummed because he wanted Dutch Mantel to sign his book that he bought, and he like missed his opportunity. And Cabana's like, "Come on, I'll go get it signed." And he's like, "Nah, I don't want to bother him, but just like thought it'd be cool if he signed it. I'm like such a fan of his." It was like he's like such a huge fan.
Yeah, blows my mind because he's a legend, and you know in his world, what he does as a musician, a complete legend. And he's always my guest at WrestleMania. So when WrestleMania comes around and they're like, "Okay, Punk, we're getting rooms. How many rooms do you need?" You know, and the rooms are only supposed to be for friend, you know, for your family. And I always go, "Oh, my Uncle Lars needs a room." And you know, and they're all in on it now. They're all like, "Oh, Uncle Lars coming to WrestleMania?" You know, so yeah. Uncle Lars always comes to WrestleMania.
Oh, and he brings his DVD player.
And he watches wrestling.
And he watches wrestling 24/7. And he buys.
And he's like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah, and he buys them at the convention. That's what I love. Like, to me, I was just like, when I saw, I was like, "Oh yes, this is good." And like Cabana threw him a shirt, and he was like, "Woo!" Like,
well, to me, WrestleMania, it's work, you know. And it's, I mean, it's, you're on the grind. You do a press conference. You come back to the hotel. You do a meet and greet. You do a THQ interview. You do a signing. You know, it's just like go, 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 go. Me bringing Lars is completely almost selfish because it brings me back down to earth, because I watch him freak out for meeting, you know, George the Animal Steel or Sergeant Slaughter or Roddy Piper, and like, you know, and I'm like, "Oh, this is cool," watching him be
so
happy.
Yeah, he was like a kid at the convention.
Because I can get jaded about it all, but watching him interact with everybody. I used to throw like a pizza party at Giordano's after every Raw, you know, and you can't really do that anymore because all the fans get wise to it, you know, and it becomes no fun. But I had Lars there, and Lars was like with me for like maybe like a week or two straight, and you know, he knew everybody. He was real respectful, introduced himself to everybody, and like, so he'd be in the locker room, you know, which, you know, for a lot of guys might be a no-no, but it's me, and this is Lars, and you know, I made sure he was properly introduced to everybody, and everybody was cool with him. And we're at Giordano's out in Rosemont, and Arn Anderson finally, like, you know, they like bellies up to the table, and he goes, "Punkster, well, I know you. It's probably why I allow this man to be in the locker room, but exactly who the hell is this man?" And Lars is squirming.
Sure, because he
knows, I was like,
he,
"Oh, Arn, I'm sorry.
Loves Arn Anderson,
yeah,
I'm sure.
I'm sorry if I didn't properly introduce you. You know, this is my really good friend Lars. He's practically my brother. You know, he super huge wrestling fan. Grew up in you know, San Francisco in the Bay Area, so he got everything All Star Wrestling, and this and this and that. And you know, and Arn's looking at him. Lars has got face tattoos, and like, you know, and Arn's like, "Son, what the hell do you do for a living?" "Oh, sir, I'm a musician." "You're a musician? Sing me something." And like, you know, and Lars was like, "Excuse me?" He's like, "Go ahead, sing me something. Would I know it? I heard it playing on the radio." "No, no. Well, we had one big hit, like, you know, 94. Sing it. Go ahead right now. Just sing it." And Lars is beat red. Like, here's this, you know, this grown ass tattooed, you know,
yeah, badass,
busted up looking old guy.
Yeah, like, who this Arn Anderson's
and
turned into like a little kid.
He's
put
blushing
on the spot.
And he's forced to sit there and sing one of his songs. And I'm laughing my ass off.
Yeah, no one else can get him. Just ribbing him. You know, you're like, would these guys believe if you went to some like punk rock bar? Would you believe?
Yeah.
That this old Southern guy made your hero turn into like a little fan. Okay, sir, here we go.
Yeah, it was totally awesome.
But I love that. I love the idea of somebody just completely being into something and being like, oh no, in this world, yeah, I'm that.
Right.
But here, I'm just like, this is my thing. And to just unapologetically be like, I'm so into wrestling, I'm so into this. This is the best. And to me, I love it too, of just like never stopping being a fan or whatever. Because like you'll hear a lot of people be like, yeah, I liked wrestling for a while. I watched it back in high school or college. I'm just like, never stopped since day one, since I watched like Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and being like, that's the bad. I remember as a little kid, I used to always just turn the TV on thinking like, it's got to be on.
It's somewhere.
It's got to be on.
It's somewhere.
Somewhere it's on. And then I remember we went to one of my dad's friend's house in Florida for like a vacation. They had cable, so it's like USA. It's always supposed to be on USA, right? And I just remember every day like just watching, waiting for it. And then finally they're like, there's a TV guide. You know, you can tell when it's on. Oh. And it was just like, it was amazing. But those things, it's like whatever you're into, just to never stop. And that's the thing too with like comics or movies or whatever. And just like, I'll never not be like excited for a movie or something. Like, I'm sure there's some people like, oh, there's this Batman movie. It's like, no, it's not just this Batman movie.
No.
It's like
it's a goddamn event.
And yeah. I feel sorry for somebody if they don't have that thing, whether it's wrestling or movies or music or whatever. I don't care whatever it is. If you're into it, it's like, you got to have your thing. And
well, I don't know if this I can't remember if this made the DVD or not. But we talk a lot about my tattoos and stuff like that, and I get it all the time. Like, oh, do you regret any of those? What are those going to look like when you're old? And I always say it. I feel sorry for people who don't have tattoos
because they can't commit. That's on it, yeah.
Because
they
because
commit.
That means that like I have a tattoo of pancakes, right? And somebody who will point at that and criticize me, like, oh, your tattoos are stupid. They're going to look like crap when you're old. Oh, my God. What do your parents think of you? I feel sorry for that person because that means that there is nothing in their life that they love as much as I love pancakes. And that has to be a dismal existence.
All right. We're going to end it at the old pancake. Get a pancake tattoo and then send it to CM Punk. Hey, how can people get a hold of you?
Well, they can get a hold of me. If they want to buy anything, they can go to cultmerch.com.
There you go. There you go.
And if you want to book me for any comedy shows or anything, what's my email?
MartyDeRosaComedy@gmail.com. That's how you book
MartyDeRosaComedy@gmail. Go ahead and
that's how you book it.
Book me for your shows.
That's right. That's right.
And you can always find me on Twitter at CM Punk. And I have a tout now that I have no idea. I don't know how to work it.
Oh, you'll figure it out, I'm sure.
You know what I tried to tout?
What?
I tried to tout when we were on the boat for the 4th of July and Cabana jumping off the boat and catching that like that Michael Jordan shit, like catching the ball. I tried to tout it. It's been uploading for like 15 days.
Get it together, tout.
I'm trying.
Get it together, tout. That's wild. Yeah, hey, here, I'm going to tout the NWA World Heavyweight Champion jumping off a boat trying to grab a ball.
I'm technologically stupid.
How does it feel to have 1 million Twitter followers?
I have 1.1. Thank you very much.
1.1 million Twitter followers. That's kind of silly, right?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yes. And I love every single one of them.
You do?
Yes.
Do you got a lot of those spam bots on there? Of those 1.1 million?
I don't even know what that is.
It's sort of like fake Twitter accounts.
Oh.
If you follow a porn star, you'll get a bunch of them.
I don't follow any porn. I don't think I follow a porn star.
Well, Brazzers.
Should I?
All right. This is the one I'm going to throw out
there. Do I get anything out of that?
Well, there's a lot of great photos, but
but
there's one new Twitter account that I've been following, and I think it's Hot Girls in Yoga Pants, and they just send you pictures, just always pictures of hot girls in yoga pants. So you're welcome.
You get what you sign up for.
Hold on. What is it? I wanted to say, because I'm such a fan of this. It's just fun. Because like, if you're not dating a girl and she doesn't send you pictures of her, then this is like the next best thing. That's what I think Twitter's all about.
Spoken like a true creep.
Yeah, right? Well, that's what somebody was saying. Like, as far as technology goes, it's like, oh, just wait. If anything's ever exists, it'll find out a way to like make it for sex or whatever. I can't find my girls in yoga pants. You'll find it. And that's what I love about Chicago in the summer. It's just like girls in yoga pants everywhere.
Don't go to the beach expecting to see hot girls, because you're just going to see a lot of people in full dress in the water.
They're not. That's not what you do. You got to go to like the yoga places on a Sunday morning.
Can't do it. Sunday morning, I'm on the road.
Well, I'll take pictures.
I'm going to be in Pikeville, Kentucky on Sunday. Maybe I'll try to find a Lululemon.
Hey, you got Lululemon.
Maybe there's one there.
Hey guys, if you really want to get those autographs from CM Punk, hang out at the Lululemons on Sunday afternoons.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, tell all your 1.1 billion Twitter followers. Goodbye. Any words to end this on?
I think if you a good edit point was the tattoo thing.
But yeah, I think
we've
so
once
too.
Again rambled on past the. And I have nothing.
You had to bring
I
up tout.
I have nothing cool to say.
All right.
My DVD comes out October 9th.
Buy the DVD for Wrestling with Depression. I'm your host Marty DeRosa, and don't be depressed, silly.
Wait, guys, don't go anywhere just yet. I have a couple quick plugs for you guys. Head over to barbershopwindow.com. You can get the exclusive Wrestling with Depression merchandise. We've got t-shirts and hoodies to show your support for this very podcast. Thanks to Ken and everybody at barbershopwindow.com for their support. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at Marty DeRosa, MartyDeRosa. And you can see me and Colt Cabana every Monday night teaming up to bring you guys Creative Has Nothing For You. For over 1 year, we've been doing this every week, brand new wrestling shorts that you can watch during the commercials on Monday Night Raw. Head to WrestlingWithDepression.com for past episodes of this very podcast. We've got some great ones on there. Catch up with everybody. And also, you can head over to WrestlingWithDepression@gmail.com. Hit me up. Send me an email. Let me know what you think about the show, what you want to hear on the show. If you've got questions for past guests, anything like that, please, we appreciate it. That'll do it for us. For my producer, Joe, I've been Marty, and remember, don't be depressed, silly.